Blog Talk Radio.
We truly are marching into war, a war for our white rights, our pride, our heritage, our children, our future, but above all, we are going to war for Yahweh, Heavenly Father, the one and true King, Lord, and Master of the white Adamic race. Greetings, brothers and sisters, in the name of Yahweh, the Most High King of Kings. Welcome to another episode of Divine Truth Ministries Radio, the only Christian identity radio show that'll tell it like it really is, and we hold nothing back. This evening, we've got a lot of things scheduled. One of the things that we're going to be discussing this evening is Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we have Pastor Greg Beckett with Soldiers of God Ministries that is on, and he'll be chiming in every now and then on the topics, but what we want to do here is this. I want everybody to grab your Holy Bibles. Grab them, wipe the dust off of them, and get ready for some powerful, powerful message. All right, folks, let's get right into it. To fully understand the Christian faith and the dual C-line Christian identity faith, which is what we adhere to, one must be fully versed in the biblical doctrine of both. The current Judeo-Christian pastors fail in their duties to supply you with the proper education when it comes to true unabridged Christianity. True all-out Christianity is found in the Holy Bible and in no other place. Current pastors preach, but it's not from the Holy Bible. They pick and choose. Or better yet, they're even told what to preach. And what they are told to preach is not the word of Yahweh.
Amen.
One of the biggest lies they preach is that Jesus was a Jew. And this is an outright blasphemy and is not stated in the Holy Bible at all in any edition. They also preach that the Jews are Yahweh's chosen people. This, too, in fact, is a lie and has no biblical foundation at all. One only has to read the Holy Bible to see the divine truth. To fully understand your faith, you must start from the very beginning. It is not found in the New Testament, nor is it preached in current churches. In fact, you would be hard-pressed to hear this simple but powerful statement. Folks, open your Holy Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. But in fact, this is where your journey to true Christianity, the true meaning of Jesus the Christ, begins. One cannot obtain true faith nor Jesus the Christ without reading his holy book from the very beginning. Nor can you start your salvation and be true of heart without starting from the first and the most powerful part of the Holy Bible. I mean no disrespect to any of you that are listening tonight or to those that will be listening to the archive, but it is, in fact, in a very true statement that I say this. All present are but infants in the Christian faith. All listening here tonight and in the future are children with the needed education that will guide your life from this moment on. Just as a parent teaches their children, I, as a servant of Jesus the Christ, Yahweh the Father, must in turn teach you from infancy and into adulthood. So I ask you all once again, are you ready to bring your journey to adulthood and into true Christianity? If so, we must begin your journey of true education in the Christian and the Christian identity faith. And so we begin. Genesis chapter 1. Pastor Greg, I know that this is a pretty powerful first couple of chapters in the Holy Bible. And this gives everybody a solid foundation as to what Christianity is, what it's supposed to be. And it gives right off the bat the foundation for separation and segregation. And people would say, well, that's not really accurate. Well, it is accurate because anywhere that you look inside of the first or second chapters of Genesis, it says fruit after his kind.
Amen.
Herb yielding seed after his kind. The tree yielding fruit after his kind. Mm-hmm. And it continues on through the first several chapters of Genesis. Now, with that being stated, and a new person coming into the Christian identity faith, or even into the rebirth of Christianity, and I use the Christianity in a very loose term because to me, it's not Christian identity, or it's not Christianity. Christianity is taught from beginning to end. It has the beginning, it has the middle, it has the end. But that's not what is being taught in Judeo-Christian churches. But as a Christian identity person, you must be able to identify with the words that are written in the Holy Bible and understand right off the bat that he is saying, this is going to be my book to my people, and it is meant for one type of person. If he did not mean that, Pastor Beckett, why would he say one after their own kind, or after his kind?
That's exactly right, Brother Paul. People in this day and age, and it has gone on not just in this age, but in previous decades before yours and my time, it seems as though people want to be all-inclusive. They all want it to be one big happy family. They want to say that our people, our white Adamic Caucasian race, had its beginning at the same time as the Negroid and the Mongoloid races. They want to say that in the fact that they believe that we are all of one blood. But we know through the teachings of the Scriptures, through the researching of the Scriptures, that that is not at all what it is talking about, because they like to take those sayings, they like to take those verses, they like to take those teachings, they like to take those beliefs purely out of context. And each time we see in the first chapter that the Almighty has made something new, something a part of the new and even possibly the second creation, we can see that what he says, because he says that, and it was good. And at the end, when we see when he has gone through his 6 days before he rests on the seventh, we can see where he says that, and it was very good.
Amen.
Not just simply good, very good. Meaning it was excellent. Meaning there was nothing that could be improved on. Meaning that everything was in its proper place at its proper time.
Right.
And it is only through idiocy, it is only through ignorance, it's only through foolishness that man has chosen to corrupt the teachings of his creation. And that is something
right.
that we as pastors are constantly in a battle for, because we must
right.
teach the truth, and we will teach the truth.
Right, and as pastors, we have the truth because we read it on a daily basis. We're not just picking and choosing, you know, well, I don't feel like reading today, I'll read tomorrow. That's not what we do as pastors. As pastors, we start from the beginning of the Holy Bible, and we read every chapter, every verse, every sentence, every word, every period, every exclamation point. That's what we do. That's what we need to do to be able to teach people. And one of the things that we have to do when we teach people is teach them the very foundation or the fundamental belief system of the Christianity and Christian identity faith. And one of the things that I want to make sure that people fully understand, in Genesis chapter 1, there is multiple references to and the night and the day were the end of the first day or the second day. And I want to make sure that people understand that the current day system, when it becomes sunlight, is supposed to be the beginning of the new day. That is not actually accurate according to, you know, the Hebrew text. Theirs fell from nightfall to nightfall was their day. It was not sunrise to sunrise. Okay? And people need to understand that. And that's one of the biggest problems that a lot of people have with fully understanding is when they're reading it, you know, and it says in the evening and the morning were the first day. It's they're thinking it's the morning and the evening were the first day, but it's not. The actual Hebrew calendar, the calendar that we are supposed to go by as Christians and as Christian identity people, is actually the night-day calendar, not the day-night calendar. And that's what people need to understand right off the get-go. That is the first false teaching that they're being taught in Judeo-Christianity churches. Is they're taking you away from the Israelite foundation of who we are and what we are. The second problem that people are being taught inside of Genesis is the fact that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he states bluntly, no questions, and you cannot argue the fact, fruit after his kind, seed after its kind, herb after its kind, fruit after its kind, on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
That is your second foundation for a true Christianity, Christian identity foundation, is to fully understand your Genesis chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on. But, Pastor, would you agree that to understand your Holy Bible, you have to start at the beginning? That you can't
Amen.
Go and say, okay, well, let me start with 2 Kings 4. Would
exactly.
you be missing a lot of stuff if you just jumped into 2 Kings 4 and go, what's going on here?
Most definitely you would. You know, starting in the book of Genesis, which, you know, is, as it's called, you know, the book of beginnings, we have to lay what is known as our foundational beliefs, our foundational outlook, the things that we hold to be true and self-evident. We find it in the beginning of the Word, and it's in the book of Genesis. We know that it was the first book of Moses, and we know that we believe and we know in our hearts that he was ordained of God to make the writings as the Lord led him to. And anyone who wants to try to take away from, anyone who may want to add to, you know, the meanings of what the Word so specifically states, it's a charlatan, you know?
Right.
And it would be the same thing as if talking about going to a different book instead of the book of Genesis. That'd almost be like trying to read the book of Revelation first.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to read the 22 chapters of Revelation first before you go to the book of Genesis, you're already lost because you have no idea what Revelation is talking about nor who it is directed to.
Right.
And when you don't know and you don't have a rock-solid foundational belief based on the very first 5, 6, 7 chapters of Genesis, I'm sorry, but you're missing out on an awfully big picture, and you're missing
right.
out an awful lot of blessed information that will give you the guidance that you need to be able to become a more effective, not only pastor, minister, but also a warrior. Because in order for a warrior to be effective, he has to know the battle plans. And the Bible sets down things for us to know, things for us to believe, things for us to share, things for us to do to be an effective warrior.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So if we continue inside of Genesis chapter 1, we come into an area, verse 26, where a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what exactly Genesis 1:26 is supposed to read. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to give my opinion on it, and then I want Pastor Beckett to give his opinion on it. Actually, I'm going to read 26 and 27, Pastor, so... Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he, him, male, and female created he, them. Now, that right there, folks, if you have any inkling, and this is not meant to sound insulting or anything to that nature to anybody, but if you have any semblance of thought, the first thing that should come to your mind is, wow, it says that he created man, male and female. Wow, then why is my current Judeo church saying that Adam was the first man? Because we know that Eve was created after Adam. The Bible does not say how far down the road she was created, but we know that she was created after Adam. But yet Genesis 1:27 says male and female created he them. Now, my understanding of this, and of course, you know, anytime you read into the Bible or any book for that matter, it's all in the interpretation of yourself and how you want to perceive it or how you want to take it. My thought is, okay, this is the creation of all male and female two-legged people, whether they were black, white, brown, purple, pink, orange, it doesn't matter, because those were created to handle the earth. Now, and I did say white in there. Now, listen to why I think this. I think that Yahweh, Heavenly Father, created all the races at this time. Because if you jump to Genesis 2:7, he says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils," now listen to this, "the breath of life, and man became a living soul." I think my thought is that right there, Yahweh said, "I need to have a pure seed line. I'm going to give the Aryan white man the breath of Yahweh, a understanding of Yahweh." Pastor Beckett, what do you think? Do you think that what I've stated here is accurate or is inaccurate or leaves some thought to individuals?
Oh, well, most definitely it can lead thought to individuals, and they should want to think more about this type of subject matter. I know it has also been taught in old age CI, or Christian identity, that when you talk about Genesis 26 and 27, and let me read it to you from the Farrar Fenton version.
Okay.
When it says, "God then said, let us make men under our shadow, as our representatives, and subject to them the fish of the waters and the birds of the sky and the quadrupeds as well as the whole of the earth and every reptile that creeps upon it. So God created men under his own shadow, creating them in the shadow of God and constituting them male and female." There has been in old CI doctrine, in old CI dual seed line doctrine, I might point, that 26 and 27 often refer to, or did refer to, just the spiritual creation of Adamic man. That is some of the older teachings that have been taught through the years. But at the same time, in your preposition, you know, you have made a good point in giving the possibility of an answer to when the other races, the non-white Adamic races, as well as even the non-Adamic white races, were put on this earth. That alleviates a lot of questions. It alleviates a lot of arguing over the first 2 to 3 verses of chapter 1 of Genesis. Because there are so many hypothetical areas and hypothetical answers that people have given over the decades that it's become practically impossible for us to pick out one or another and say it's absolutely right, it's absolutely perfect, because, number one, we weren't there, you know?
Right.
What we can rely on is what the Almighty tells us, what he reveals to us, and everything else would be, you know, his secret. And the secrets that he has revealed to us is ours. And those are the things that we have to put away in our heart and keep in our heart to teach to our brethren and to our sisters. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're not going to say that anyone in particular has the key. Not that anyone doesn't have some kind of an explanation, but that no one has the complete picture or the complete puzzle. That's what takes so many of us out here to be able to look at each piece individually and somehow try to place them together to make the puzzle complete. And, you know, when we talk about the beginning, you know, it's not just the beginning in Genesis, you know, that is wrote of in this word, because we know that when we go to the first chapter of John and we go to verse 1, and it says, in the beginning, the very beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that, in and of itself, these two places that we're reading from today give you a total picture of what and who was in the beginning. And that's a very good point that you made, Pastor Paul. And that is something that I would hope would make people who are listening in on the show tonight grab their Bibles, knock the dust off of them, and start opening those pages and say, I'm going to refute these guys. They don't know what they're talking about. Because when they start studying, when they start doing their research, they'll find that they can't argue with us.
Right. Amen. And here's another fact, too, that would go back in support of what I had just said about, you know, my thought of Genesis 26 and 27 and Genesis 2:7. You know, when Cain slew Abel, Cain, when he was forced out of the garden, said, whoever findeth me will surely kill me. Well, if Adam was the only person on the face of the earth, then it was Eve, how in the world would Cain, or why would Cain fear for his life when he was forced out of the Garden of Eden, and that whoever findeth me will kill me?
Amen.
Well, think about it, folks. It says it right there in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. That's how Cain knew.
Amen.
That whoever findeth him was going to kill him.
Amen. That's right. Because when you stop to consider that, according to a lot of fundamentalist Judeo-Christians, they will automatically say that because Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel were the only four people on the earth, then by that reasoning, when Cain slew Abel, and he later said that he was afraid that when they see him or when he runs into people, when they meet him, that they'll take his life. Well, my goodness, that means it would have had to have been who? Adam or his mother Eve that would have to take his life because he wasn't going to commit suicide.
Right.
So,
well, and even more in support of that is that he found a wife. So, in their logic, he married his mother.
Exactly.
I mean, is that what they're trying to say?
Or they would say that it was an incestuous relationship with his sisters. But the Bible does not give that until later on in Scripture when it starts to do the breakdowns.
And for the folks who don't understand, it does give, you know, his sisters, you know, he doesn't give them by name, but it does reference that he had, you know, sons and daughters throughout, you know, the Bible. Our imperative point of this discussion, and we're going to be getting ready to go to a special report out in the field, so to speak, for the hashtag White Lives Matter, but I want to get back into this here really fast. So, Billy, I know you're on the line. Just hold on. We'll get to you here in a little bit, brother. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 have got to be the most read chapters for anybody who is getting into the Christian faith or the Christian, especially the Christian identity faith, because as I had read it here, it clearly states that, hey, I want you to stay separate. I want you to stay to your own kind. And throughout the entire Old Testament, it does say that. You know, it doesn't come straight out and say, well, I want you to stay separate and segregated. He speaks in parables. He speaks in tongues. He speaks, you know, in what? Kind after kind. And when you see that or any reference related to that, he's telling you, you stay to your own. How many people, you know, in the Israelite line had gotten in trouble for mixing outside of their races? I mean, you know, it's in there. It tells them, you know, you will pick your wife from this tribe, period. And if you don't, I'm going to strike you down.
Amen. Amen. And not just that, but when you think about it in that light, think of what Esau did. You know, Esau took Canaanite wives, and the scriptures tell us that they were a sore spot. They were a disappointment, you know, for his parents. And
oh, yeah. And that's something we will get into further, because that is a great story that
Amen.
Really opens eyes to many people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. And when you go further, and not too awful far, you know, when we first hear of Lamech, and we hear that Lamech you know, had a city built, you know,
right.
And he had been married, and he had actually committed, you know, a heinous crime, you
right.
know, by either injuring or killing another man.
And
right. we have to believe that with Cain being out there and being who he was and what he was, I would dare say that I would think that Lamech would be the descendant of Cain.
Well, I would think so, because it's if you follow the line, you know, which is further down, you'll understand, and that's one of the things too that is so imperative, and I think Pastor Becca will agree with this, is that any time on the Divine Truth Ministries radio program where we discuss biblical foundations and teachings, which is what this ministry is based upon, you better open your Bible and you better read with us.
Man.
And when we're done, go back and look at it again. Make your notes. I want you to prove me wrong. That is our goal. And it sounds weird, but we would like for somebody to be able to prove us wrong, because we know that we have the solid foundation. And by the way, I use a King James Bible. I do not use a New King James. I use the King James Bible. And if you're going to go Bible to Bible, it's just like apple to apples. Read the book that I have, or read the one that Pastor Beckett uses, and try to stump us up, because it's going to be impossible, because we know that we have the truth and the true word right in front of us, and that's what we go by. We go by the Holy Bible. We don't go by some other publication Bible, okay? Most of them just call them the Bibles. As a matter of fact, I think it's hard to find a Holy Bible with the name Holy on it anymore. But read your Genesis. Read your chapters 1 and 2. Get your foundation. You know, the next topic that we'll be discussing next week is going to be 3 and 4. And that right there is going to blow 90% of the people's minds that are going to be listening. And I'm hoping that with us discussing Genesis chapter 1 and 2 today and giving them a foundation to read on and to understand and go, wait a minute, Pastor Mullet or Pastor Beckett, they made a comment about that. What was that? And well, let's go back to the radio show and listen. Or write down the questions and email it. You know, well, I'll answer them. I don't have a problem in the world doing that. But your foundation starts in Genesis. It cannot start in Kings. It cannot start in Daniel. It can definitely not start in Revelations, because if you start in Revelations, you're not going to know anything what's going on. You're going to be lost.
Confusion.
Yes, sir. So, well, Pastor Beckett, I greatly appreciate you coming on and helping give this foundation for Genesis 1 and 2. I know we got Billy Roper on the line. I'm going to jump over to him really fast. He's got a special report. I believe he's out and about doing a flyer drive right now. But if you want to stay on the line, please do so, because at the end of the show, if we have more time, I want to discuss more about Genesis 1 and 2 and get some thoughts and opinions from the callers and stuff. Folks, the guest call-in number is 917-889-2626. If you want to call in and talk to myself and ask questions about Genesis chapter 1 or 2, or if you have any other questions in reference to the Divine Truth Ministries or the Nation of True Israel. Thank you once again, Pastor Beckett, and I am going to go ahead and get Brother Billy on the line. Brother Billy.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm on the speakerphone because I'm driving right now. The temperature just plummeted, and I'm driving actually through a major veteran community of Little Rock in central Arkansas. I'll just go ahead and say, we're in Conway, Arkansas, and we just left the Hendricks University campus. It's a big private university, well-funded, and they had some vehicles parked around, and they had a big pedestrian walkway, which was well-lit and had musical lights. It was really nice and a great place to post a lot of White Lives Matter flyers. That's what we're doing out tonight, January the 9th, White Lives Matter, hashtag White Lives Matter. raising awareness of anti-white hate crimes and violence and raising awareness of the genocide of our white race, especially our white women and children, by distributing flyers and leaflets. That's what we're doing, is at least, that say hashtag White Lives Matters, and people around the nation, indeed around the world, have been doing that today and are doing it right now, and that's what we are doing. I've been taking some pictures and going to be forwarding them to people responsible for the White Lives Matter website for Sarah and Kevin to post, and those will be up soon, and also they'll be on social media on Facebook, if not tomorrow, then the next day. But, we have two different teams that actually took a bunch of flyers, and right now, well, we are in a shopping center that has a City Trends and a big cinema and JCPenney shopping complex, and hand out a lot of flyers to people personally to their hand. But to be honest with you, it is very cold in central Arkansas, and so it's wet and rainy, but the rain has stopped, so we put some on some windshields and went to Dixie Cafe restaurant and put a lot on some windshields there. But we're just having a good old-fashioned time.
Great, brother. That's awesome to hear. While you've been out and about there, have you had a chance to actually physically hand some flyers to individuals and get a response from, you know, the hashtag White Lives Matter?
Yes, I have, actually. And, basically, it's very simple. All we really ask people to do, you don't have to give them a speech or anything, just hand them a flyer and say, hi, White Lives Matter, and keep smiling and keep walking. When you're in an area that's high traffic as far as pedestrians, you don't have to necessarily make people feel confronted or that they're being challenged to debate with you. And, you know, people constantly pass out flyers advertising everything from rock concerts to church revivals every single day in every shopping center. But we're just one of the many people providing a service to the customers. Our service is just probably more important than a pizza coupon or an alternative rock fest. It's telling them that it's okay to care about their own children's future, and that white lives do matter. Certainly if black lives matter, then white lives matter too. Now, because it is so cold here, a lot of people coming out of the restaurants did not want to linger anyway, but that's okay. The rain has stopped. We're going to do some more windshield flyering, and there's another university here in town that we're going to hit. Being the weekend, not all of the university kids are on campus, but we're taking advantage of the vehicles that we do find and the people that we do find, and so far we haven't had any kind of negative interactions or anything. It is a pretty diverse town. Probably, what would you say, maybe 75% white still or something like that?
Maybe.
Maybe 75% white still, but it's pretty diverse, but we haven't had any kind of problems, and we feel like that we, I'll just say that if a university reacts the way that they normally will, I anticipate, or at least wouldn't be surprised to find some media coverage of what just happened at the university there, but we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I know it's going to be good no matter what it is, because we know that they're going to take whatever it is and make it into some sort of very hateful hate speech, but we know that it's not, because white lives matter, and it's time that people started waking up and realizing that. Brother Billy, how many flyers have you been able to give out this evening so far, and how many other people are with you that are doing this?
We actually have four people that ended up taking flyers to distribute. How many would you say that, Brian? And
I don't know. You probably gave them about 100 between the two of them.
Maybe about 100 or so with them, and then we have the rest with us. So so far, probably maybe 200 have gone out, and we still have some
great
left to go.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, 200 flyers is a great number to be able to hand out, especially on a cold, wet, rainy day down there in that area. I know it's pretty cold up here in Ohio, so I know how you feel. I want you all to stay safe out there, and make sure that you, as anybody who's out there doing any of these flyer distributions for the White Lives, hashtag White Lives Matter, or any organizations, make sure you abide by the law. Don't do anything stupid, because you're representing our people. So obey the law,
I know that there are a lot of people who are distributing flyers by themselves. If you are by yourself, there's no reason to take unnecessary chance. I was actually talking to a couple of ladies online who were going to distribute the flyers by themselves, and I gave them advice just not to take a necessary chance. We certainly appreciate everyone's courage and their dedication to our people, but there's no reason for anyone to, especially if you're a single lady, to put yourself at risk for, you know, for any reason or for the purpose of this literature distribution. And we hope that a lot of the men that are listening would be inspired by the fact that there are single women who are out doing literature distributions today who don't have any backup, no one to watch out for them, no one to help them. And yet, you know, there are guys right now who are sitting in the warmth of their apartments or their houses not doing anything. And they should be shamed or at least encouraged into following the example of the ladies who are doing so much.
Right. And speaking of ladies that's been out there doing so much, we have Sarah from WAU on the line. Sarah, what do you think's going on there with Billy? How do you think he's doing? And then what did you guys end up doing today?
I am incredibly impressed by what Billy and his group are doing right now. That's a lot of flyers to put out in the cold, and I'm very impressed right now.
Good.
Thank you, ma'am.
You did some as well today. I think I saw a video or something to that nature on Facebook earlier about that. How many flyers or balloons were you able to do this afternoon?
I only did about 50, which doesn't seem like much compared to what Billy just did, but it was just me and my 6-year-old son passing them out to people. I went to 4 different towns here in Wisconsin, and we just hit parking lots with lots of people, and no negative feedback at all. My son said hi to a lot of people, and I think that kind of, you know, took away any negative impact there could be, because who's going to get mad at a child, you know? So we had a lot of fun doing it, a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people understand that, you know, their lives matter too, and the media doesn't represent them. So we had a lot of fun with it today. It is snowing pretty good now, so once it started getting dark, we had to come back to the house. But we had a lot of fun.
One thing, too, I'd like to make comment to everybody out there, too, who is either getting ready to do this or has done it and will be doing it in the future, too, especially for the single ladies out there or anybody who's doing it by themselves. I would suggest you put it inside of a Ziploc baggie with a couple of rocks, drive down a road and throw them out to the people's driveways. That way you're safe and you're secure, and if anything happens, you can get out of Dodge. That has always been, you know, one of my favorite techniques to do, especially when I go out by myself, is I roll down the windows on both sides and just start chucking.
Now, I have done that in the past, and I think that works very well, but I actually like the person-to-person contact. I don't feel threatened. If I felt I was in a situation, I would just walk away, but I've been doing this on my own for a while, so, you know, I would rather have the face-to-face for myself personally. So.
Right. Okay.
I agree with Sarah, and I also really enjoy the face-to-face and the person-to-person contact, and look forward to seeing her video a lot. I haven't had a chance to see that yet, of course, but look forward to seeing that. And if the guys who are listening are not inspired by what she does, then there's something wrong with them.
Correct. You know, and she has done a lot for the hashtag White Lives Matter movement, you know, to say. Sarah, now, have you been able to get the website up and running yet, or are you guys still working on that?
We are still working on it.
Okay. And there's that's whitelivesmatter.biz. What's that?
Yes. There's a lot of material we're getting together, but yes, it will be up soon.
Okay. And I'm sure that you'll let everybody know on Facebook and then, you know, on your guys' Patriotic Front radio show that airs on Sundays?
Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
8 o'clock Eastern? Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Now, I know that Kevin is not feeling well today, so he may call in or he may not call in. I don't know. He said something about The Walking Dead earlier, so if he's anything like that, I'd prefer he stay off the line. But, you know, you never can tell with him what he's going to do. So if he wants to call in, let us know how he did. Great. If not, just type it into the chat room, and I'll let everybody know what's going on. Billy, while you're out there, I mean, how long are you guys planning on staying out distributing the flyers? Are you going to go until you're completely done with all your flyers, or are you going to move into a different area?
Actually, I'm probably going to – we are close to the interstate now, and we are at a Roadrunner here, and I'm going to hit the interstate and go about a half hour or so north up to the Russellville area and hit some truck stops and some restaurants along the way, and then go ahead and get rid of these tonight. But I'm going to spread the love out a little bit more evenly so that I can get more of a reaction, hopefully, throughout Central Arkansas.
Good, good. Now, with you driving and everything, Billy, I know you're on speakerphone, and it's getting colder out there, so I won't keep you on the phone much longer. Do you have any messages for anybody out there who's listening? Any words of encouragement for them?
Absolutely. I just want to tell people that regardless of what social media outlets like Facebook do to try to censor the White Lives Matter movement and our message of white racial survival, standing up for our own people, we're going to have that independent White Lives Matter website up soon that will not be fragile, subject to the whims of Zuckerberg, and that'll be good. But, you know, people, tonight, tomorrow, you don't have to have a certain specific day. Just simply spread the word, hashtag White Lives Matter, to make people aware of what the controlled media is not telling them about the white victims of anti-white hate crimes, violent rapes and murders that happen every single day in our country. And it's a very simple foundational message that white lives matter. People hear black lives matter every day in the controlled media. So it's a very, very short leap for them to understand that, well, if black lives matter, then our lives matter. White lives matter too. So that's a very simple message that we're all spreading today. People all over the country. And I look forward to seeing the pictures and seeing the videos like Sarah shot and hearing about all of the distributions throughout the country and hopefully be able to piggyback onto some mainstream media coverage too. But I want to thank everyone who is involved and look forward to the next drop.
Great. Great. All right, Billy, you can either stay on the line or if you want to, go ahead and disconnect. It's entirely up to you. And we'll
see.
I'm
going to put my hands at 10-2 and maneuver down the interstate here, but I enjoyed listening to the show and I will be talking to some of y'all soon.
All righty. Well, thank you, Brother Billy.
All right, 88.
88. All right, that was the roving reporter, Mr. Billy Roper, publications and propaganda minister for Divine Truth Ministries, as well as a staunch supporter of the hashtag White Lives Matter. Now, Sarah, one other thing, too, that I wanted to mention once again is that we also, and I know that you have done this already, but this is for the people who are listening who have not done this yet, divine-truth.org also has a form that is set up, and on that form we do have a White Lives Matter section where we will be posting a lot of the stuff as well. From the White Lives Matter, whatever we can get, whatever you or Brother Kevin send us that we can put in there, or you guys can go in there and do that yourselves. But for all those who are listening, they're whitelivesmatter.biz, B-I-Z, will be up and running hopefully here within the next few days, as Sister Sarah. You said there was a lot of stuff you guys were putting up there, right?
Yes, there will be a lot of information on there and a lot of inspiring things to look at and information about the White Lives Matter. So we
great.
Have a lot to go on, so it'll be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I know it's going to be something spectacular. I believe we have Mr. Walking Dead himself on the line. Is this Mr. Walking Dead?
Oh, this is correct. I am back from the grave, my friend.
Well, good. It's good to hear from you. What were you able to accomplish today with the hashtag White Lives Matter?
I dropped about 50 flyers. I went to local parking lot. I knew it was going to be heavy for a Saturday. And I did the walk and talk with people. And I have a casual approach. I know when somebody comes up to me, they got a paper in their hands or something, and they're, like, pointing at me, like, waving me over. I assume a salesman. They want me to join the gym or some feng shui class or something like that. There's a Chinese woman who just terrorizes the parking lot all the time. Don't know what she's saying, don't know what she's giving me, but she gives me the same flyer every time. So, you know, automatically every time she comes up to me, I just kind of wave her off. I don't want people to feel that when I'm walking up to them. You know, so I'm dressed casual, and I tell people, I'm like, hey, you know, sir, miss, I'm not a salesman. And then I go into my approach and my dialogue with them. And it's been crazy successful. People were very receptive to these flyers. I took a video of it. One guy was even like, F Black Lives Matter. He's like, heck yeah, man, I'm with you, man. You know, which is awesome. That's what we want, because we know people are frustrated with what's going on in society, and there's just not enough people out there reaching out to them. They don't know where to turn. There's, you know, once the White Lives Matter website gets rocking and rolling, there's going to be a place for them to go to. But as of right now, there's nowhere to go to. There's no reaching out to any White Lives Matter activists. How do they find them? You know, you can't just Google them.
Yeah, no, yeah. Especially with social media shutting it down every time we turn around. You know, it seems like it disappears, but yet every time we go and report Black Lives Matter, it stays up. And, you know, that's what happens when you're on a Jew-run communist, you know, page. But, you know, it's social media. It's the end thing right now. But hopefully once you guys get that whitelivesmatter.biz site up, you know, you guys will it'll never come down.
Well, it's like with the event pages on the Facebook, too. When we get them up and rolling, we meet some amazing people on there, people we never thought would come out and support the events, whether it's a balloon release or flyer drop. They're so receptive to the message. They're so happy. Then the event page just gets shut down. How do we find these people again?
Right.
You know, we locked out the first time. I mean, I think Sarah and I, we had four or five events going on before we started getting smacked down. You know, once a week, then it became once every couple of days, every day we got shut down. You know, but we picked up great people, like with today's event, earlier event, the bacon challenge. You know, we have people from all over, you know, just regular American people doing this against Islam, which is great because they're finally taking a stand and they're having fun with it. And when we bring activity to the public and make it fun, you know, they're more apt to stand with us because they realize we're humans and not some American History X credo, you know, nonsense. You know, I know the whole bacon pork thing is not part of the CI religion. I understand that and I respect that fully. You know, but from our approach, we're just trying a different tactic, you know, to win over the general public, you know, who are receptive to this side, you know, which, and it's been a success and a half. I never thought it would go this far. I thought it would be just dead in the air, and pictures are still pouring in, people are having fun like crazy. We're seeing unity amongst other groups coming together, which is cool. You know, it's about time.
Right. You know, and it is about time that, you know, some of the unity happens. And, you know, we've talked about unity, I don't know how many countless times you've talked about it, just about every day or every episode or every other episode of your show, including the shows that you had done beforehand, you know, and it got to the point, I know that even Brother Beckett is, you know, he's probably like, you know, oh, okay, unity, well, you know, like everybody else in the movement, but it's actually starting to happen, and that's really good thing that these groups and these people, you know, are able to communicate and actually work as a cohesive unit. And I really appreciate, you know, everything that you guys have done with the hashtag White Lives Matter. I have a lot of respect for you and Sarah both for all that you've been able to accomplish in such a short time frame for hashtag White Lives Matter.
Thank you. That means a lot, brother.
Well, it is what it is, and truth is truth. So, is there anything else that you had wanted to discuss about this evening, or?
Well, we're happy that the event page is still up. I mean, we may be able to switch to a White Lives Matter event page. It's hit or miss whether it will last. Sarah and I will figure that out tonight or tomorrow, which way to go about it, because now that we have such a good audience and we have, I think, close to 5,000 invites of people and people trickling
right.
in, you could see their racial feelings by their posts.
Right.
You know, they're not being directly racist, but they indirectly
right.
are. And those are the people we want because they feel the way we feel. Now it's just how do we play on it to keep them on board with us?
Right.
You know?
And those are the target types of people. Those are the people that are actually starting to have their eyes opened up by looking at the Jew media, you know, and the print publications and the presses, you know, that we all know is run by the Jews anyway. And, you know, seeing them starting to realize their eyes are starting to open up, you know, and that's where we need to, as racialists and racists inside of organizations, that's where you need to start, you know, talking to these people more. And I'm glad that you guys are doing that. I'm really glad that hashtag White Lives Matter has taken off and that you guys are getting these newer people who are starting to become racially aware and seeing the double standards in society today.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, brother. Well, if you don't have anything else, we'll get back over here to some biblical studies. You're more than welcome to stay on or, you know, discontinue. It's entirely up to you, brother.
Yeah, I'll be listening via internet. I don't want to call.
All righty, sir.
There.
Well, I appreciate you and Sarah both coming on. Thank you guys very much for being here, and thank you both once again very, very much for the hashtag White Lives Matter.
Thanks, brother. Great show.
Brother Beckett, how are you, sir?
I'm blessed, brother. And let me say that on behalf of Church of God Ministries, Soldiers of God Ministries, let me say that we appreciate what Brother Billy, Sister Sarah, and Brother Kevin are doing on behalf of our people, too. I know being around this thing for the last 44 years, it does my heart good to see you youngsters get out and start leaving some footprints, so to speak, in the history of what this cause is about. And
right.
I applaud your efforts, and I pray that you continue with all the blessings of the Almighty that it succeeds.
Right. You know, and that was really good to hear, you know, Kevin say that they're actually starting to, you know, see inside of some of the posts from some of these people that they're not overtly racist, but they're actually starting to see and realize what's going on in today's society. I mean, that's really great to be able to see that and have that right there. I mean, that's a good, solid foundation to start working on as somebody that is testing the water, so to speak.
Oh, amen. Amen. And, you know, it amazes me how our own people at 99.9% of the time when we are distributing any kind of literature in any which manner that we may choose to do so, they often frown at it. So often they don't read it. So often they have no idea what it may even say, because as soon as they see it and they see something that says white lives, and it's like, no, I don't want that. But,
right.
you know, doing the one-on-one delivery such as these folks are doing today, that is a new approach. And it wasn't really something that us old-timers,
right.
we did it somewhat like that back in the day. But
right.
we didn't do it just by a single person. We always had a group with us, and
right.
which they were distributed to. But at the time also it was because we thought more for our safety, because of who we were and what we were
right.
and what we were doing. So,
right.
But praise Yahweh that they're having success with that.
Oh, amen. You know, and I keep them in my prayers and make sure that they're, you know, protected. I know that a couple of them, you know, aren't believers in the CI faith, but they respect us for, you know, having our beliefs, and I respect them for having their beliefs. But it's still not going to stop me from praying for y'all, so... Just know that there are a couple of us that are praying for you, for your safety and stuff, while you guys are out there doing the hashtag White Lives Matter flyer distributions and balloon drops or balloon releases.
All right, Pastor. We have ourselves some time here. We actually, I started this as a two-hour show, but I think that, you know, we'll talk for a little bit longer, and when it ends, you know. We left off with Genesis 1, or actually we had started getting into Genesis 2, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we had set the foundation. We got people to hopefully would understand that the actual day is actually night to night, not day to day, you know, for an actual Israelite or Hebraic belief. It is night to night, not day to day, as one day. We got the foundation that shows that Yahweh immediately started saying one after their own kind, no matter what it was. It was always kind unto kind. We laid the foundation for Genesis 1:26 and 27 with the understanding that this was the actual creation of all two-legged individuals of all races, including the white race. And then we jumped into Genesis 2:7, where Yahweh actually formed the seed line, you know, for the pure Adamic races when he breathed into the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam. So we have covered your beginning, your middle, and your second beginning. Foundation in your Christian beliefs, in your Christian identity beliefs. Is there anything in that section there that we should go back over, or should we just keep moving on into Genesis 2, like 17 and on?
Well, personally, with chapter 1 and chapter 2, there is an awful lot of material to cover there. And when you look at what it says in 2:7, you know, it says, and I'm again reading this from the Farrar Fenton version. It says, "The ever-living God afterwards formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils." Now, the Farrar Fenton says, "the life of animals." Okay? But okay, when it says man became a life-containing soul, in the notes that Farrar Fenton has for that particular verse, when he says the breath of life, he is talking about reflective or intellectual life. So in that way, we can see that he is giving Adam man, our predecessor, intelligence. And we know that intelligence was passed down from him to, you know, his children, and then on into the offspring of Seth, and all the way down through, you know, the tribe of Judah, and we go to Solomon. Because when you go into the book of 1 Kings, and you start to read a little bit about, you know, King Solomon, it says that he was the wisest man that there had been up to that time, and that there would be none that would surpass his intelligence. When you do some research on those words and on those statements, you find that Solomon, in his own right and in his own day, was actually considered a scientist. And that is something that most people don't know. So when you see that the scripture says that the Almighty breathed life into the man that he had formed, not only did he breathe life, but he also bred and breathed intelligence into him. And that is a wonderful thing for our people, because we know that all of the main necessary things for us to live with, all the main and necessary things that have been discovered, the main and necessary things for a civilization to occur, it had to come through an intelligent being. And I'm proud to say, I'm happy to say, I'm glad to say, and I'm blessed to say that it was white Adamic man that did that.
Right. You know, and I fully agree with that 110%. That is, you know, just awesome. What in your foundations for your Christian identity and Christianity, and I, you know what, I'm not going to say Christianity anymore. It's Christian identity. We're identity Christian, period.
If you want to hear Christianity, go to a Judeo-Christian church. The biblical foundations are there. You cannot miss them. If you will just open your eyes and dust your Bibles off and read them, you guys will fully understand what is going on. It's there. It's point blank. And there's no way around it if you read it. Now, given, my Judeo-Christian upbringing, I was always taught that Genesis 2 was a more in-depth explanation of Genesis 1. My biggest problem with that is this is the Holy Bible. Why does it have to go in-depth? Any thoughts on that, Pastor?
Well, we know that those who believe that you have to go into great depth, it's because in themselves they don't have the understanding at the time for them to be able to handle the truth or to accept the truth or to receive it. And it's one of those things, too, that if they get in it too deep, they'll get lost because all the answers that they'll be looking for or the proofs that they'll be looking for are simply not there, because every time when men such as Stephen Hawking, when men such as other so-called learned men try to refute the creation that the Bible describes, they find that when they think they have the answer, boom, they discover something totally new that throws them way off course, and they have to revert back to start all over. And I'm sure that our Almighty just has a good laugh out of them.
Very true. Is there anything else that you feel that as an individual coming into the CI faith or the IC faith, whichever one you prefer, should be fundamentally looking at inside of the Bible? I mean, outside of starting at the very beginning, which I don't, that's my belief. I believe that you should start at the beginning. You should never start in the middle or the end. Given your experiences and the time that you've been around on this earth since God created Adam.
I'm old as dirt.
Yeah, you are. That new believers should fully read or understand, or how should they go about understanding Genesis, and especially the first, all of Genesis is vitally important, just like the entire Holy Bible is vitally important. But I'm looking at, maybe the first 10 chapters as being a beginning or the foundation stone of a good Christian identity faith.
Mm-hmm. The first thing that they need in order to gain understanding is something that we have said before on this broadcast, not just this one, but on previous ones. They need to purchase for themselves a true Bible, a true either authorized King James Version. You could do a 1599 Geneva, or you could do the Farrar Fenton. Any one of those three are excellent. And they kind of do kind of like a groove, kind of like they have been doved together, so to speak. But in order to understand it really, and if they really want to get down to it and do some serious study, they should get them a Strong's Concordance to the Bible. And with that, they should pray before they start to study that the Lord will reveal to them, the things that he needs them to see at that time. Starting out in the studies of CI, especially if they've been bombarded with JC material for however many of years it might be, they're going to be confused from the get-go when they see how our beliefs vary from their beliefs or the things that they have been taught. And the reason that there is always that confusion is because up until this time, or until the time that they decide that they actually want to try to refute something we've said or something they've read or something they've heard, they have never really researched the scriptures for their own, and they've just taken for granted what the man in the pulpit says is the truth. And there are so many good works out there, so many CI ministries that you can go to and get the basics from. And granted, you know, CI ministries are a lot like, you know, JC churches, unfortunately. There's an awful lot of them out there. Not all of them always agree 100%. But the thing of it is that you have to search and search and search again to find the one that relates to you or is revealed to you to being the one that is where you need to be. And from there, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to search the scriptures. A lot of people look at these things as though it's like, wow, you know, that's way too deep for me. A lot of people, when they do their studies, they make it harder on themselves than they really have to. They
right.
go into it with blinders on. And
yep.
they need to know. They need to know right from the get-go that they're not going to receive the answers to all of their questions that they have right then and there. And they may never receive all of the answers that they're looking for. They may never discover them. Because, my gracious, after 43, almost 44 years in this, there are still questions that I have every day. There's still new material that I discover and am, you know, introduced to, per se, even after I've read these scriptures through practically 30 times, you know. And there's always something new that he reveals to us. And they must go into it with the mindset that the Almighty will not reveal something to them until they are ready to understand it. That's
right. And he will let you know when you're ready. It's not when you think
Amen.
You're ready.
That's
you
right.
Never
That's
go
right.
into it thinking that you're ready, because until Yahweh, Heavenly Father, says you're ready, you are not ready.
Amen. It's in his time,
you know,
not ours.
That's right. And you never want to push, and you never want to go in and just go in and immediately start reading, you know, 60 pages of the Bible right off the get-go. You never want to do that.
Amen.
Because you need to take your time. You need to let what you just read sink in. You need to go in and do your research, you know, and when Yahweh says, okay, it's time to move on, you'll move on.
Amen.
And he's
Amen.
Not going to let you move on unless he knows that you understand it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like a project that I've been working on for, wow, what, 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
With the biblical CI Bible study that I'm doing. I mean, there's been plenty of times where I haven't picked it up at all. To continue it, because it was not time for me to do it. You have to be in that right mindset. And when I listen to my God, my Yahweh, he tells me when I have to continue. You know, it was just like, you know, doing this, the show this evening. You know, I had been contemplating on whether or not to do it on Genesis 1 and 2, and I was like, had that feeling. No, you need to. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go further until I know that we need to, because I know that Yahweh is trying to get to people through people like yourself and myself to get the message to them, for them to fully understand it and to accept what is being taught and what they read. You know, and I'm sure that there will be times where we have to go back and explain Genesis 1 and 2 again. That's not a problem.
Oh, no, not at all. And when you just gave the example of you not moving until Almighty Yah told you to move, that is a very good point, and that is something that each beginner needs to do. They need to learn and understand that they don't move until he has actually directed them to. And
right.
in that frame of things, in that frame of thinking, I would suggest that a beginner, a new servant who has come on to the truth, so to speak, I would suggest that they not read more or study more, try to break down more than one chapter a day. And
I agree with that.
Even then, they may even need to stay on that one chapter longer than one day until they are comfortable with it, until they have actually researched it, until they have it set in their hearts and spirits what he has revealed to them. And just because they read it the one time doesn't mean they have all the answers to it. My gracious, how many times have we read through the scriptures looking for something, looking for an answer to a question that we have in the book of Genesis, but we find it all the way back in Isaiah, or we find it in Jeremiah. Heck, we even find them in Jonah.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
You know, there's no end to how the Lord can work through and give you an answer. As Scripture says, he says, you know, is the Lord's arm too short? You know, of course it's not. He can do whatever he wills.
Right.
And that,
you know, and I would suggest, actually, you know, with you going and making the statement of reading just one chapter, I would read that one chapter multiple times in that day. I would push for three, minimum three. You know.
And when you talk about chapters 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis, there is so much material there, and so much of it can be backed by science. So much of it can be verified, you know, by what so-called philosophers or scientists have looked to and discovered. But still, there is so much there. And what they'll find is that one thing that they may have a question on will lead to other questions when they feel like they found out the first question they had. So the questions stop. The learning never stops.
No, it never will. I mean, what's the old saying is, you know, you learn something new every day? And that's true. Even if you think you know everything about a particular subject, it doesn't have to be, you know, the Bible or, you know, or maybe your work or anything like that. You always learn something new every day. And how do you, you know, when you're doing it, that's Yahweh saying, no, take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
You don't know it all.
Amen.
And here's why,
Amen.
Because you just learned something.
That's right. And you know as well as I do, so many times when we think we have a rock-solid understanding of a particular chapter, a particular verse, or a series of verses, we often, when we think, ha, now I got it, now I understand it, he gives you something new that you didn't have before out of that same chapter, out of that same verse or series of verses. And it's like,
I know.
Wow, I never saw that before. Well,
right.
It's because you weren't stupid.
Right.
So,
you know, and I'm going to say this, and, you know, and I'm sure you'll agree, even with yourself and myself being ordained pastors, going through and studying the materials that we studied, taking the tests that we took, you know, and giving our life over to Yahweh and being led to go into the ministry of Yahweh Heavenly Father, that even, you know, today you can open any one of our Bibles to any page, and we've probably read it a dozen times, if not more, and we could say, okay, well, we know this verse by heart, and then when you're reading that chapter that verse is in, go, oh, wait a minute, okay, all right, okay, yeah, now this goes, oh, and this goes over to here, oh, and then this goes, oh, no, wait a minute, and then this goes back over to here, and then it goes, and your studies never stop.
Amen. Amen. And
if your studies stop,
that's right.
Get out of the ministry.
You're never too old to learn something.
Amen.
You know, the thing of it is that us old timers, you know, I hate saying that because I'm only 55, but...
Well, I'm an old timer too, so...
The thing
but
of
I'm
it
younger.
Is... I know, but the thing is that we can learn from so many different areas and so many different avenues, you know?
Right.
That's why I always keep my ears open. That's why I try to keep my mouth shut so I can actually listen to what is being said by whoever the person is, because
right.
I have a belief that no matter what, you know, our beliefs are, no matter what... you know, deal we take in CI, because you know yourself, there's a lot of different, you know, theories, a lot of different beliefs when it comes to CI.
Right.
So many different programs, so many different, you know, theologies or interpretations or translations. I often find that although I may not agree 100% with someone, as long as I listen, there's something that they're going to say, there's something that they're going to write, that I'm going to be able to take something from and use.
Right.
And it usually makes me a better man for doing that.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those things where, no, what we do, we'll never get the whole answers. You know, we won't get
right.
the answers completely until Yeshua comes back and proclaims
right.
and establishes his kingdom,
right.
you know, on this earth. That's when all of our answers will be answered, you know, correctly. That's where they'll be straightened out for the things that we messed up. Because,
right.
let's face it, you know, we don't have the truth. You know, not all of it. We have bits and pieces. And the questions that we may have that even our elders were not able to answer, he will be able to. But that
right.
doesn't mean that we stop searching for those answers.
No, and we're never going to stop. But see, Yahweh will only give us what we need to have. He will never give you more. You know, he will let you have exactly what you have to have, what he knows you need or what he knows that you can handle. He will never overfill your cup.
Amen. Amen.
Until that day comes where you can stand in front of him and have your questions answered. And, you know, I don't know about you, but me, the day I stand in front of Yahweh Heavenly Father is the day I am speechless.
Oh, there's no doubt.
You know, I'm
now
sorry,
doubt,
that's just me.
I doubt very seriously if I'll be standing, you know.
God, no, I know I won't be. Oh, no, I will
knees.
Be facing the ground.
Amen, that's right, that's right.
There's no way in the world that I will, you know, I would ever deserve to look into his eyes. I do want to make a couple of quick announcements here for the people who are still listening or are going to listen into the future. Next week, the 16th, which is Saturday at 9 o'clock Eastern, will be our last radio show on Saturday. We are going to move to Wednesdays starting January 20th, but the time will remain the same, 9 o'clock. We're doing this as a test to see, and I think that we're just going to go ahead and do it, to be honest with you, because of all the other CI programs that are on Saturdays, and we don't want to be in competition with another CI program. You know, we want to give them their due respect. So the 16th will be our last Saturday show, but January the 20th, we'll start the new programming on Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock, and you can always get this information at divine-truth.org, or you can go to the Divine Truth Ministries Facebook page anytime you want to do that, and that is Divine Truth 1438. That is our Facebook page. Hopefully everybody will continue to listen when we move to our new day on Wednesday, January the 20th. Pastor Beckett, I know I would love to continue this conversation, but I think my voice is needing a little bit of refreshment.
All right, brother.
So do you want to close us out in prayer here, and then we will... Once you're done with that, we'll go ahead and start our closing song.
Yes, sir. Let me read something first before
okay.
we close in prayer. And this comes from, of course, it comes from the 22nd chapter in 2 Samuel, and it's David's Song of Thanks. And for those of us warriors who are getting a little bit long in the tooth, and for you younger ones out there, know that our Almighty Yahweh, our Yeshua, our Savior, the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us, is our buckler, is our shield, is our tower, is our salvation. And let me read this to you, and when you hear the words, you'll know why I like this one a whole heck of a lot. It could almost be termed as an independent, militant Christian song. And it starts out, and it says, "The Lord was a rock and fortress and refuge to me. God is my fort. I will trust in him, my shield and my buckler, my tower and hold, my Savior who saves me from oppression." In this movement, in this cause, we know that those of us who feel like we feel, those of us who strive to reach out to our brothers and sisters in truth and love, those of us who stand straight and narrow and steadfast on his word, we know who the oppressors are. We know who our enemies are. And when you hear what he says, here, when he says in this, he says, "From my enemies, strong he redeemed me. From haters, more strong than myself. In the day of distresses, he helped me. The Lord was himself my support and brought me again into freedom." Those types of things give you the impression that our God is not a wimp. Our God is a warrior.
Amen.
Our God is a soldier. Our God is a militant. With that word, we'll pray. Most Heavenly Father, Almighty Yahweh, we come to thee in the name of thy Son, thy most holy Son. We come to thee in the name of Yeshua. Father, we ask that your divine hedge of protection be around those tonight who are out in the world, who are out there, Father, distributing the literature that lets everyone know that, yes, even white lives, our lives matter. Father, bless their efforts. Bless the efforts of this ministry. Father, allow it to reach those who need to hear the truth that is being proclaimed through this ministry. Bless those who are connected to this ministry, Father. Bless its chairman, Pastor Paul. Bless Brother Billy as he is out in the world. And bless him, Father, since he's traveling today and the weather's not all that great. Be with him and keep him strong. Father, be with Sarah and Kevin and let them be successful in their efforts for our people. For, Father, we know that it takes all of us combined as one chain, because we know that if there's got to be at least three cords, and they cannot be broken. So let it be with us also. And, Lord, thank you for this time to be able to come out on the airwaves to preach your word, to teach your word, to speak your word, and to proclaim it.
Amen.
We love thee with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, with all of our body, and with all of our might. And we thank thee for the many blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. Bless us this week and always, Father, and let these words touch the hearts of those who were meant to hear them and receive them.
Amen.
In Almighty Yahweh's name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Fighting dogs and his minions, never asking for reward. He's an Aryan warrior. identity of these people you won't learn at any talk. He's an Aryan warrior, bring hope back to the land. He'll not let our people down without a final stand. He's an Aryan warrior, like an eagle taking flight. We shall reign in victory at the final fight. Though many of them don't understand and battle at their oppressive command, he will battle till his dying breath of the state, his culture is death. He's an Aryan warrior, bring hope back to the land. He will not let our people down without a final stand. He's an Aryan warrior, like an eagle taking flight. We shall reign in victory at the final fight.
Amen. Yahweh bless each and every one of you for joining the show this evening, and for those that will listen into the future. I want to thank Kevin and Sarah from the hashtag White Lives Matter organization, and I want to say thank you to Pastor Greg Beckett for joining us this evening, and thank you to Billy Roper for him being able to call in while he was out doing a flyer distribution. You can visit us on our website, divine-truth.org, and our Facebook page, Divine Truth 1483. Yahweh bless each and every one of you, and take flight, Aryan warriors.